Lord, don't you? That's a prayer of my heart. Everything you wrote there sounded kind of like this psalm. I was reading through the Psalms again and came to this one. I wanted to look at it with you again, knowing it would be a blessing to you. Brother John Sheasley, he read from Psalm 34 tonight in the study. Made me want to preach from that. Wonderful. Psalms are so wonderful, aren't they? I remind you and me that psalm means song. And David sung these. David played these and sung these. And they're meant to be sung. The Lord tells us, He commands us, He urges us to sing for our good. You remember these passages like Ephesians 5 that say, singing to yourselves. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 5. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. Singing not only glorifies our Lord when we sing, give Him thanks and praise, but it's good for us. It lifts us up. So it's good. It's good to sing psalms. And most of the psalms, as you know from reading them, are prayers. And I can enter into nearly all of them, can't you? Nearly all of them, prayers. This begins, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." We'll look at Psalm 140. "Deliver me, O Lord." That's a prayer. Psalm 141. "Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto, give ear unto my voice." Psalm 142. "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. My voice did I make supplication." So this is a prayer, as so many are. And he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness." You know, when all is well, when things are prosperous and all is well, we say grace. I don't know where that term came from. I never had much like it. Say grace. Or we go through the motions, don't we? Everything's well. We go through the motions. Let's get this over with so we can eat. Anybody? Be honest. But when we're in trouble, we cry. No one. And we cry. David's in trouble here. Give ear. He wants to be heard. He needs to be heard. Will the Lord hear us? Yes. Verse 1, he says, "In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." The Lord has heard and heeded the cries of his people from Adam, from Abel, from the beginning. Millions upon millions, if not billions or trillions of his people, he has heard their cries. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, "Before they call, I'll hear." David wrote Psalm 139. Is that your favorite? He said, "There's not a word in my mouth you don't know it altogether. Not a thought in my head." He knows. The Lord has heard and will continue to hear his people because he's faithful. I call upon some and they don't return my calls. I've done the same. But the Lord is faithful. He's a faithful friend. He sticks closer than a brother. He will hear in his righteousness. What's that? Christ. Christ said, "Father hears you. He'll always hear you if you call in my name. Always hear you. Might not answer you immediately, but he hears you." Like you when your little children or your children were babies, you knew when they were just fussing and you knew when they needed you, didn't you? You know, the mother knew. Father didn't. He's asleep. But the mother knew when that child was just, you know, in his times and his crying. And the Lord knows. But he hears. He always hears. He always hears. Lord, our God hears us and delivers us for Christ's sake. He is our righteousness. And because the Lord is righteous, He does what's right. We don't always do what's right. We don't always do what's right. He always does what's right because He's righteous. He'll do right by us. If He doesn't answer us, it's right. We need to be ignored for a while, like the woman, the Syrophoenician woman. We need to be tested like her. Whatever He does is right. He'll hear us, though, in His righteousness. Verse 2, enter not into judgment with thy servant. In thy sight shall no man living be justified. Psalm 130, another favorite of mine and yours, isn't it? If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. So I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. There is forgiveness. But if he should mark iniquities, who shall stand? The Lord does not mark the iniquities of his people. They're blotted out. They're covered. They're under the blood. You know that? Our sin is ever before. But they're blotted out by Christ, by his blood. But David says, Lord, don't judge me. You remember Psalm 51, another favorite. We could just keep quoting the Psalms, could we? We don't need to comment. But David said, you'll be justified when you speak, and you'll be clear when you judge me. But Lord, I need mercy. I need mercy. Oh, he says, purge me with hyssop. David is talking about the sacrifice that used hyssop, dipping it in the blood and sprinkling the pig. Purge me with it. Let the blood be propitiation on the mercy seat of my soul. Don't judge me. Please. Oh Lord, don't judge me. I won't be able to stand. No, nobody would. Under his all-seeing eye. Don't judge me. Didn't the Lord tell us not to judge? Judge not, that you be not judged. He does what he said. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dead. Judge means to condemn, sentence, and pass judgment or execution upon. Cut off. He won't do that to his people. He won't do it. Verse 3. The enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. What enemy is he talking about? I think he's chiefly talking about Satan, our arch enemy. That's our greatest enemy. He's the adversary. He's the one that our Lord told to pray, deliver us from the evil one, and the disciples' prayer. The enemy had persecuted. The enemy, the great persecutor, the tempter, smites us, and we're no match. The Lord knows that. He knows we're no match for him. Adam, Eve, no match. Remember what he said to Simon Peter? Simon, Satan hath desired thee to sift you like wheat. Remember Job? Satan wanted to get at Job. He couldn't unless the Lord let him. He's our arch enemy. We feel like he's assaulting us at times, but we're hedged about, people. Aren't you glad? We're hedged about. The enemy hath persecuted my soul, and perhaps the next greatest enemy is the one within us, isn't it? He smites us down to the ground. He makes us to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Satan, self, the world brings us low, brings us down, darkness, until we feel like we're dead. Dead. Verse 4, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. That's the title of this psalm. Psalm for those that are overwhelmed. Psalm for the overwhelmed. You ever felt like you're overwhelmed? Overwhelmed means to be covered over with something. So weighed down by a problem or a your sin, your sorrows, your troubles so weighed down so that you feel like you're just going to sink under them. You're not going to rise from them. Overwhelmed. You know the word baptism is whelmed? I mean, overwhelmed. That's what the word baptism translates to. David in Psalm 38 says, "My sins have gone over me." Troubles, trials, all of God's people become overwhelmed. Become overwhelmed. And we feel like it's all, we're going to go down and never rise again. You remember Simon Peter? He saw the Lord. They were out on that boat in that storm. And they all saw the Lord. They thought they were going to perish because of that storm. Storms of life. The Lord sent it to show forth His power, to show His presence. They didn't think He was with them. They thought He was on the shore. He was watching them all. It was a test. All right, so He came walking on the water. And they all saw Him. And Simon Peter got excited. It's the Lord. And he wanted to stay in that boat. He thought the boat was going down. He said, bid me, Lord, come to you. Huh? So he went. And he walked above that storm, those rising waves. And then he started looking around. He looked down. And he began to sing. And he would have been overwhelmed if he hadn't uttered three words. Lord, save me. Five words. I perish. If the Lord doesn't save us, we'll perish, won't we? Will He? Every time. He has me. You're looking at a man that cried time and time again. Lord, save me. This poor man cried. That's right. Psalm 34:6. David, in that Psalm 34:6, I've reminded you many times that that's right after he acted like a crazy fool. He acted like he didn't even know the Lord, didn't believe the Lord, and he acted like a madman. He lost his mind. He was so full of fear. Well, that Gath, that king of Gath, got rid of him, and David wrote that psalm, and he wrote in that psalm, "This poor man cried, and he saved me out of my trouble." It's a poor excuse for a man. Become overwhelmed. Our heart becomes desolate. That desolate means a couple of things. Guilty, empty, barren, cold, dead, dry, lifeless. We get like that a lot. And then he starts musing. That's a good word. It means to meditate. It means to think. I meditate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Let's go back there. Psalm 105 and look at the Lord's works, okay? Psalm 105. Look back there. Psalm 104, 105, 106, 107. Wonderful psalms. You could start there and start reading about the Lord's works. Wonderful works of the children of men. You know, our problem is that we often forget the Lord. David said, I remember the days of old. I call to mind, I meditate on all thy works, I muse on the works of thy hands. And our problem is we often forget. Psalm 107, look at this. This is where they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He delivered them out of their distresses. No, it is 105. Excuse me. 105, verse 5, here it is. Remember His marvelous work. Remember His marvelous work that He hath done, His wonders and judgment of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, you children of His. Remember what He's done. But our problem is we forget, we soon forget. Look at Psalm 106, verse 12. They believed His words. They sang His praises. Psalm 106, 12 and 13. They soon forgot His word. They didn't wait for His counsel, for His word. But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, tempted God in the desert. He gave them over gave them over, gave them their request, and sent leanness unto their soul. Look at verse 21. They forgat God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham. Go back and look at what all the Lord did and to the children of Israel who were so forgetful of Him. He never forgets us, do we? But we forget Him, and that's part of our problem. Look at verse 32. They angered him. Verse 33. They provoked him. Verse 33. They provoked his spirit. He spake unadvisedly. Look at verse 43. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him. Verse 44. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. He heard their cry. He remembered for them his covenant. He remembered for them. Verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God. Oh, verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God. And all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. So David says, I remember the days of old. I remember what you did for your people. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. That's part of our problem. We don't do much meditation. Verse 6 in our text. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. I stretch forth my hand as one in trouble, as Simon Peter surely did when he was sinking, when he was about to be overwhelmed. Do you? I stretch forth my hands, my soul thirsteth after thee. Blessed, our Lord said, are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. My soul thirsteth after thee. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's Christ. Jehovah Sitkin is our righteousness. My soul thirsteth after thee. You remember Psalm 42 where David said, as a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. When shall I come and appear before thee? My soul thirsteth for the living God. My tears have been my meat day and night. Where is your God, they said. I remember these things. I poured out my soul in me. Oh, don't be cast down, O my soul. Trust in God. I will yet praise Him, the health of my countenance. So David says, I reach out to you. Just pause. Verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. Hear me speedily. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Have you ever cried unto the Lord, Lord, I need you now. This can't wait. Listen to David. Make haste, O God, to help me. Make haste to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Hurry. I'm going down. That Psalm 70. He began and ended that Psalm by saying, you're my help, my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Hurry. Hear me speedily. This is a pressing matter. That's how we need to call on Him. Like it's a pressing matter. In our text, he says, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. What pit is that? It's this world. This pit of corruption. The Lord takes His hand off of us. We'll go down. This world, this sin that's in this world, it's in us, like gravity. It just pulls us down. Help me. Or I'll go right back down into that pit. Slime pit. One time he told us, you reminded us, remember the pit from which you dig. Oh my, hear me. I go down back down into that pit. Verse 8, cause me. These are seven or eight things that he's praying. Cause me. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Cause me to hear. Lord, hear me and cause me to hear you. Cause me to hear your loving kindness. You know that about 14 times in Jeremiah, turn with me to Jeremiah 7. 14 times, beginning in Jeremiah 7, all the way over into the 60th chapter, I believe it is, he tells us that, or the 50th chapter, he tells us that he sent his prophets early, rising early, to talk to his people, speak to his people, and they wouldn't hear him. 14 times he said, I sent my prophets, and you wouldn't hear them. Look at this, Jeremiah 7. And that's why David says, cause me to hear. Let me hear your voice. And no other. Jeremiah 7:23. This is the Lord speaking. This thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. I will be your God. You'll be my people. Walk ye in all the ways I've commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in their counsels, imagination of their evil heart, went backward, not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I've sent unto you all my servants and prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Read on. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, they will not answer thee. Isn't that a shame? 13 or 14 times he says that all through Jeremiah. I sent my prophet, but they wouldn't hear him. Wouldn't hear him. So David said, cause me to hear. I want to hear your voice. If nobody else listens, I want to. In our text, Psalm 143, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Loving kindness is another word for his gospel, his word, his truth. Loving kindness. Cause me to hear in the morning. In the morning. Before I hear anything else. Before I hear all the lies. Before I hear the tempter's temptations. Before I hear all this noisome pestilence. Cause me to hear your voice. The voice of my beloved in the morning. 4, verse 8, in thee do I trust. You know, I do trust the Lord. I do. Don't you? I believe Him. All my help on Him is stay. All my hope. I trust in the Lord. I believe Him. I really do. But I sure don't act like it very often. I sure don't walk like it. Look at verse 8. He says, cause me, I trust in you, so cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. I lift up my soul unto thee. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. The Lord says, here is the way, walk in it. Doesn't it? It's plain. His word is plain. Here's the way, walk in it. What's wrong with me? We need to call on the Lord. Because without Him, we can't. We can't. Our feet will go astray if we don't tell Him to order my steps in Thy Word. Here's the way, walk in. Walk in light, remember? 1 John 1. Walk in the light, see He's in the light. Walk in the light of His Word. Walk as children of day. Walk in obedience. Walk by faith, not by sight. Trust the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Not with the world. Don't walk with the world. You can't walk with the Lord and walk with the world. So he says, cause me. Cause me. Cause me. Make me. Make me. Don't let me walk with the Lord. Grab hold of me. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Walk with you. I lift up my soul unto thee. I'm yours. I'm thine, O Lord. Verse 9 is another request. Deliver me. Oh Lord, from my enemy. Deliver me. Deliver me from my enemy. They're many. They're lively. I'm no match. I'm no match for them. I flee unto thee to hide me. Don't you love that? I flee unto thee. Oh, then to the rock let me fly. Brethren, we need saving. We need deliverance. Every day. Day in, day out. Every hour. of every day. We need deliverance on. Well, we have a deliverer, but we've got to call on him. Deliver me. I flee unto thee to hide me. Verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. The Lord said this, our Lord Jesus Christ in John 13, he said this after he washed their feet. Do you remember what he said? He said, if you know these things, happy are you if what? If you do them. If you know these things. I know these things. I've got a pretty good knowledge of things that he said. But I don't do them. He said, you'll be happy. You'll be content. There's a song, Trust and Obey. There's no other way. And another preacher and I have talked about it years ago. And he said, I don't know if I like this. Well, over the years I've come to like it. Because there is no other way. There really isn't. Do what he said. You're not going to be happy if you're disobedient. Are you? You're not going to. Trust in the Lord. Cause me to know the way I should walk in. What is it? He said, teach me thy will. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Well, listen, we've looked at this many times. Here it is. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable servant. Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the will of God. Listen to this. You've heard this so many times, and I'm not going to quit saying it. I need to hear it. You need to hear it. Listen to this. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. You were sometimes in darkness, but now you're light. In the Lord, walk as children of light. Fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. It's the will of the Lord. He goes on down saying, walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise. Be not unwise, be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Teach me to do thy will. I know his will. Teach me. Do it. Listen, it's not all. It's just on and on throughout the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4. I beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. You know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. Your sanctification. A people set apart. That's the will of God. Right? So he says here in a psalm, teach me to do thy will. I know your will. Teach me to do it. Teach me to do it. Thou art my God. You're my God. Didn't our Lord say, they shall all be taught of God? Every man that heard and learned of the Father does what? Comes to Christ. Follows Christ. That means not just only look to him, but observe him and emulate him. They follow him. You're my God. They come to Christ. They follow him. Thy Spirit, verse 10, is good. He leads and guides in all truth. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's good. He's good. He leads and guides into all goodness and righteousness and truth. Lead me. Lord, lead me. Please. Take hold of me. Take me by the hand. Lead me. Don't let go of me. Is that your prayer? Lead me. Savior, like a shepherd, lead me. Don't leave me alone for a moment. Don't leave me to myself. Lead me into the land of uprightness. This is where I want to dwell. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's where I want to end up, don't you? And this is a little foretaste of that. Isn't it? The hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets, before we cross those heavenly fields or walk the golden street. And this is a little foretaste of that. These people right here are righteous people, just people, upright people, godly people. These are God's people. That's who I want to dwell with. We're marching to Zion. We're going into a land that is fairer than day, a land of uprightness, wherein dwelleth righteousness, where our Lord is. That's where I want to go, and I want to go with you. I tell you, I know you feel this way. Sometimes I hate to leave this building. Don't you? I really do. What's our purpose? Light. Salt. That's why. Go. Go. Shed light. Bear light. Verse 11. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. You know how often David says this? Quicken me. Quicken me. That means give me life. I feel so dead. Give me life. How does he quicken us? He said, thy word hath quickened. All through Psalm 119, he says this over and over again. Thy word hath quickened me. I remember, I've told you this. You know, 30-some years, I've told you about every story of mine. It's all right. It's my story. You tell your stories over and over again. Now, some of you tell them 2 days after you told them last time. And but anyway, I was a young believer. Mindy and I were traveling somewhere, coming home from somewhere. And we stopped into a church, wanted to worship. It was on a Wednesday night, I think. And I was just feeling so low, so down, so sinful, you know, struggling, the warfare within me and all that. So dead, so dead. And the preacher preached on that, Psalm 119, quicken me according to thy word. I went in there dragging, crawling. I went out of there flying, mounted up on wings of eagle. Quicken me. Feel so dead, so dry, so desolate. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. That's his name. Lord, our life. Christ, our life. Quicken me. You're my life. Give me life. Word of life. For thy righteousness sake, verse 11. For thy righteousness sake, bring my soul out of trouble. For thy righteousness sake. What's that? Well, it's Christ. He is our righteousness, isn't it? Jehovah said Kenneth, that's his name. Lord, our righteousness. Bring me out of trouble. For thy righteousness sake. Brother Scott Richardson, he said every believer's got three kinds of trouble. He said troubles you just came out of, troubles you're in right now, or troubles you're about to get into. You're never out of it. It seems like we're never out of it. We just got out of trouble. And we're in trouble, or we're going back into more trouble. Man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Our trouble-filled day. Bring me out of trouble. That's Psalm 107. I got kind of mixed up there because 105, 106, 107 are so much alike, aren't they? Psalm 107, they kept getting in trouble, didn't they? It says, then they cried unto the Lord. He delivered them out of all their trouble. And everything was fine. And then they got back in trouble. Oh, we're always in trouble, Lord. And He's so faithful to bring us out. For His righteousness' sake, you see, His faithfulness. Verse 12, of thy mercy cut off mine enemies. Of thy mercy, O Lord, cut off mine enemies. There are many. Destroy all them that afflict my soul. Mandy and I were talking about this. And you read the psalm. You know how often David speaks of his enemies. And sometimes he's talking about people. Quite often he's talking about people. That no matter what, they're just against him. They're just against him. And he says, and you can't help it sometimes. You think, Lord, deal with these people. Please. You? Please deal with them. And He will. Oh, that makes it all the more important that we don't. That we're a friend that stick it closer to the brother. Don't turn, because the Lord is righteous in all His way. Oh, man. He hateth the destruction or the judgment and of the righteous. He hateth it. Verse 12, he says, cut them off, all those that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Can you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ would say these things? You know that you could preach this whole psalm as Him saying these things. Because in all our afflictions He was afflicted. In all our troubles He was troubled. The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on Him, the Scripture said. And all those things. Our Lord had many enemies, didn't He? And He cried. He cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. He was His servant, wasn't He? And so are we. We're His servant. Oh, Lord. So He begins by saying, Lord, hear me. Hear me. In Thy faithfulness and Thy righteousness. And, oh, Lord, help me. I'm Your servant. I'm Your servant. Stand with me. Our Heavenly Father, our prayer is what we just read. Oh, that David cried unto Thee concerning all his desire is our desire. He said it in another place, Lord, all my desire is before Thee. All my groanings are before Thee. You know all that we feel and all that we need and all that we want even, Lord, You know. We ask, O Lord, that You would grant us these things that are surely Thy will. That You would hear us, that You would cause us, that You would lead us, You would guide us, You cause us to hear, cause us to know Your will and teach us. O Lord, we need Your help. Thou art our helper, our healer, our friend, our Lord, our Savior, our deliverer. O Lord, we pray that You would keep us for Thy name's sake. Through Christ our Lord, we pray and ask these things. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.